One little boy's definition of Father's Day went like this. He said, well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend so much. Yeah. Now, the story is told of a father of five children who came home with a toy. So he summoned his children and asked them, which of you should I give this to? And then he said, who's the most obedient one here? Who never talks back to mom and does everything mom says to do? Well, there were a few seconds of silence, and then all the children said in one accord, you play with it, Daddy. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who became separated. Well, the son ran away, and the father went to find him. And he searched for months, but to no success. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And here's what the ad said. Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. Well, on Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. Gary Smalley, popular author, psychologist, he asked 100 people, he said, what's the one specific way that you knew you had received your father's blessings? The one specific way you knew you had received your father's blessings. Let me give you some of their answers. One, my father would put his arm around me at church and let me lay my head on his shoulder. Two, when my father was facing being transferred at work, he purposely took another job so I could finish my senior year in high school at the same school. Number three, when I wrecked my parents' car, my father's first reaction was to hug me and let me cry instead of yelling at me. Hey, Titus, this sounds like all of these are yours. Number four, when I was a teenager, my dad trusted me to use his favorite hunting rifle when I was invited to go hunting with a friend and his father. Number five, my father went with me when I had to take back an ugly dress a saleswoman had talked me into buying. Number six, my father would let me practice pitching to him for a long time when he got home from work. And number seven, even though I'd never seen him cry before, my father cried during my wedding because he was going to miss me no longer being at home. Father, so important to the family. Amen. Why? Well, the U.S. Census Bureau gives these facts. 19.7 million children, more than one-fourth of them without a father in the home. You think about that. 25% of the children in our country live without a father. And then research shows that when a child is raised in a father-absent home, he or she is affected the following ways. And we saw this on the video. Four times greater risk of poverty. Teen pregnancy. Seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teenager. That's without a father. Behavioral problems. More likely to have behavior problems, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Fatherless are more likely to go to prison. Child obesity, two times more likely. Crime, more likely to commit crime if you don't have a father. Education, and we saw this, a great percentage of them, I think this is 60-some percent, more likely to drop out of high school. This organization, GRIP, I don't know much about it. It's an outreach for youth in the Chicago area. One of the statistics they gave is 200,000 youth under the age of 18 in Chicago live in poverty. And 90% of the young people, the teenagers in gangs, 90% come from fatherless homes. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I was very close to my father. I had utmost respect for my dad. I loved him. I love him. He was my hero, always my hero. For all the men I've known in my life, my father would be one of the most, I believe, consistent in his walk with the Lord. And may I say, most consistent in his discipline of me. One of the fondest memories I have of him is sitting in church close to the front, I think even up and through junior high. I always chose not to sit with my friends, but to go up and sit with my dad. Halfway through the service, I'd kind of slip my arm into his. I don't forget that. You know, I want to say, as a father of four children, I think it's very fitting for me today to speak on Father's Day to the fathers. To the fathers from the book of Proverbs. And I know that fathers who teach their children, I'm going to make a statement, that fathers that teach their children from the book of Proverbs are in many respects farther ahead than all the other fathers in raising their children with good and godly character. Fathers that teach their children from the book of Proverbs. I mean, you go to the book of Proverbs, you can spend a month going through Proverbs teaching on speech and diligence. One of my favorites, and I taught my grandsons in Hawaii this, soft little choices. Remember that? We talked about the sloth. And we spent all the time of the week in Hawaii with our family altar talking about slothfulness. And you could spend weeks talking about discipline, relationships, and attitudes, and fearing God, and things God delights in, and God's power, and God's character, and how to be happy, and the balance between mercy and truth, and peace, and what God says about the scorner, the fool, the simple one, the thought life, your emotions, wisdom, prayer, respect for authority. All of those in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs 1 is where we'll be today. I think if you were to describe the book of Proverbs, I would say it's a book, a God-given book, of very simple, pithy statements which give us instruction on how to live. We may say that a proverb is a very simple, wise statement whose purpose is to instruct. It's a very brief statement given to us, I think, so we can easily remember. So each one of the 31 chapters in Proverbs is designed for a father to teach his son. Came across an interesting quote, and let me just give it to you. It goes like this: as fathers go, so go nations. As fathers go, so go generations. As fathers go, so goes history. Interesting. So this morning, I want us to look at this first chapter in Proverbs. It's basically to whet the appetite of fathers and mothers and single parents in the area of teaching these principles of wisdom to their children. Practically speaking, I would say if you're a young man, you're an adolescent, you're in your teen years, or if you're a father, you want to be all you can for God. If you want to be all you can for God, these first five verses will pretty well lay out for you a life purpose. A life purpose. Now, I don't know how this is going to come out. I have been through it several times in the last couple weeks, actually. And sometimes I'm thinking I'll just teach. Sometimes I'm preaching. I don't know how it's going to come out. I just know what's in my heart, and I know the passage. And so you pray with me that God would give the right approach to match our hearts. Amen. So let's get started. You might say this morning we're going to give fathers and sons that position statement for their life. So why are you a father? What's your purpose? What do you plan to do with your children? What's your plan as far as teaching? Why are you a son? So look at Proverbs 1 verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So the word proverb is a Hebrew word, masal. It's a short and memorable, witty, pithy, clever statement which represents an important fact of life. You may say that generally speaking, the book of Proverbs gives important truths and then gives illustrations of that truth. I was challenged years ago to memorize the book of Proverbs. And they said, well, you know, you'll never. That's always like saying sic 'em to a bulldog. You will never do. And so I did. It took me 3 years to memorize the book of Proverbs. Don't ask me to quote it. I can't. If back then, if you were to ask me to quote it, I could. But, you know, the Spirit of God brings these verses up, and that's what's so exciting to me about memorizing the Word of God. Proverbs 25:28, here's a good illustration of what a proverb says. It says, he that has no rule over his own spirit, and now the illustration, is like a city that's broken down and without walls. So proverbs are sayings or principles about doing and being, about conduct and character. And they're primarily concerned with a person's spiritual, moral, and social being. And these proverbs, you know, we have these Zoom men's prayer meetings. And so you take the computer screen and you got little boxes all over the place with men. Yesterday, men from Terry Rushing, Wings as Eagles, Bob Warner, and the missionaries from Mexico. And one day we have a missionary from France come in, and missionary from Africa, and our men, all these different. So I kind of picture Proverbs as all these little windows of truths for us, and they're crowded into a large gallery, and they're all showing us something different about our spiritual lives. So let's look at it. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So who's Solomon? Solomon was the third and last king of the United King of Israel. He followed King Saul. He followed King David. He was the son of David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba, the former wife of Uriah the Hittite, whom David had killed to hide his adultery with this woman, Bathsheba, while her husband was on the battlefront. And they had a child, Solomon. Solomon wrote three books in the Bible. Song of Solomon, that's when he was young and in love. Proverbs, his middle age, when he had intellectual powers that were at their peak, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes, in his old age, is reflected back on his life. A time when he was disappointed, disillusioned with his fleshly nature and his life. And so when I think of Solomon, I think of a certain passage of the scripture that stands out. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Keep your finger in Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1, but 1 Kings chapter 3. God asked him, what is it that I can give you? Remember that? I'll give you what you want. And remember what he requested. What did he request? Don't say wisdom. Yet. Look at 1 Kings 3:9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. And then down later, it says, behold, I have done according to thy words. I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So he asked for an understanding heart. God gave him a wise and understanding heart. You know, as I read that, I think, is there a difference? Is there a difference between a wise heart and an understanding heart? Well, he asked for understanding. Of course, in 1 Kings chapter 4, he asked for wisdom. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. So here's Solomon. He wants wisdom and he wants understanding. So that kind of is a background for what he's written. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 2. So here's a father's purpose statement. Number one, if you're writing a purpose statement, number one, it is to know. To know. And what are you to know? Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. And I may say wisdom personified in Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. So taking it from a New Testament view, my purpose statement is to know Christ. To know Him better. So it says to know wisdom. Now look at the next word. And instruction. This is a father. I want to know wisdom and instruction. You know, when I think of the English word instruction, I think of books and writing and quizzes and, you know, but actually the word, the Hebrew word for instruction is a word which means chastening. I think it's two words. The Hebrew word for instruction is swift kick. That's Scott paraphrase. So he says, here's your purpose. Here's the purpose of what I'm writing the whole book of Proverbs. Here's your purpose statement. To know wisdom, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to embrace His swift kicks. To embrace His chastening. So this book was written so that we might be made aware of, be familiar with, wisdom instruction. Again, the word wisdom means the ability to see things from God's perspective. It means to see things from God's point of view. Well, it's been said that wisdom is knowledge applied. Also, that we can understand Jesus Christ more. The personification of wisdom is Jesus Christ. And so when a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what happens? Well, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in his life. He's completely transformed. At that moment, the Spirit of God opens his spiritual eyes. Now he can understand the things of God. And at that moment, he can begin to comprehend wisdom. So wisdom is the ability to see the relationship between my problems and God's principles. So if I'm wise, that means if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I will come into a certain issue or a problem and immediately search for a scripture that applies to that issue. That's if I'm wise. A person who has Christ in him will have a strong desire to grow in wisdom, the Word of God. That's why I have a hard time, just personally, begging a person to go to church. Don't you? I mean, if they're saved in their heart, the Holy Spirit is giving them that desire. I mean, you beg a person to do what the Spirit of God is already convicting them to do. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Now, most of the time we forget the second part of the verse. And with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Get understanding. So the most important thing in life, fathers, the most important thing for me as a child of God is wisdom. Word-filled, spirit-filled life. The mind of Christ. The most important thing in my life is a relationship with God that enables me to see things from God's point of view. To have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2. If you're a businessman, wouldn't it be great in dealing day in and day out with decisions and business ventures? Wouldn't it be great to have the mind of Christ, the mind of God's wisdom in every one of your dealings? Fathers, wouldn't it be great in every issue that comes up in the lives of your young people? Wouldn't it be great for God to give you a verse and to remind you of the character of Christ in a certain issue? You know, while I'm going to get on a rabbit trail, and I'm not going to get done with my sermon. I want to. But, you know, it seems like when your children are, let's say, kindergarten through sixth grade, fathers are often ready to go out and give a seminar on raising children. They know everything about raising children. But something happens when they become junior high, adolescence. It's like everything turns upside down. It's like they come up with questions that you never heard of. It's like, why are you doing that? Why are you taking a hammer and just beating that hammer against the wall? Look what you're doing. Oh, I wasn't thinking about it. I'm thinking of illustrations right here. No names. Why on earth are you doing that? I don't know. Wouldn't it be wonderful, fathers, for then for you to come up with chapter and verse? You have their heart and to be able to give them a biblical truth. That's wisdom. Wisdom. Wouldn't it be awesome to train your children so that they might have favor with God and man? They might have the ability to deal with lawless deeds. I'm thinking of verses. They would be good and godly leaders. They'd have the respect of those under them. There are verses that talk about that in Proverbs. So our study in the book of Proverbs ought to cause us to know wisdom and instruction, to have a personal relationship with Christ and His Word, and to understand instruction, which means chastisement, reproof, restraint, to be put in check, to be corrected, to be disciplined, to be rebuked. God says, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Hebrews 12:6. So, number one, a father's purpose statement is to know. To know. Say that. To know. To know what? Wisdom. That's Christ or God's point of view. And a swift kick. Understanding. To understand. To embrace the reproofs of life. Number two, to perceive. Number one, to know. Number two, to perceive. Read the rest of verse two. It says to perceive the words of understanding. That word perceive actually means to realize, to understand, to discern. It means to understand the words of understanding. There's that word understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. The word understand, the words of understanding means the sayings, the speeches, the statements, which give us insight into the future consequences of present actions. You ever taken dominoes and lined them up? You know, you've got pictures, YouTubes of thousands of dominoes that go around in pictures, and you push the first one over and then starts all that chain reaction. That's a good illustration of understanding. Wisdom is seeing the dominoes. Understanding is seeing the result of turning the first one over and seeing how they play out. Okay? So God wants us to perceive, to realize, understand the words, which are scriptures, of understanding. The things that talk about the future consequences, the domino effect of our present action. That's different than wisdom. Now let's go on, and I would say to Vinny, we're going to go fast on our notes, so hang on. God wants us, fathers, to perceive the words of understanding. Which, here's what that means. That means you're able to see between the lines. Read between the lines. You have the ability, if you have wisdom and understanding, you perceive the words of understanding, you have the ability to respond to life situations from God's perspective. It means you're able to relate God's principles to your daily trials. And understanding goes a step further than wisdom. You're now able to respond using all the wisdom that God's given you, and you can see now the domino effect of your choices. It's like, why did you do that? Look at me. Look at me. son, do you realize if you keep doing this, this is the way you're going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Do you understand that? Understand that. That's understanding. So here, I have a question for you. So if I study the book of Proverbs, I'll gain wisdom, right? No. That's not right. As I apply the book of Proverbs, I will gain wisdom, a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Generally speaking, if I study the Word of God, I get wisdom, right? Well, God tells me to study to show myself approved unto God. But if I study the book of Proverbs the rest of my life, hear me, it's not going to affect me unless I let it. Unless I allow my life to be changed by it. Otherwise, you grow up and you're just a fathead spiritually. You're a theological fathead, but you do not know Jesus Christ. In this book of Proverbs, God says He wants us to perceive, He wants us to know. You know, I'm talking with men and with their sons. They'll often say this, they'll often say something like this. You know what? I can't do everything for them. I have to let them make mistakes and then be there to help them clean up the mess. Do you agree with that? I do. To an extent. It's like I just don't want them to make the same mistake that will ruin their potential for the Lord. I think there's times when a mom and dad teaches wisdom and needs to back off and let their child make some mistakes. I'm not talking about being moral. I'm not talking about, you know, giving them a pack of cigarettes so they learn not to smoke. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of the daily decisions where dad doesn't micromanage and says, okay, go ahead. You know that child's going to blow it. And you're there to help them learn. So wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So, talking about God's purpose statement, it's to know wisdom and understand instruction. Number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Now let's go to number three, to receive. Look at verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Oh my, look at these words. First of all, to receive means to willingly grasp. You can't help somebody, you can't help your son, you can't help a father unless he's willing to grasp the things of God. We got fathers here that if you're not careful, you'll space out right now. You'll go to a game on your tech, on your phone. You'll walk out. This is too deep for you. Basically, you're not willing to grasp what's being taught. And God wants us to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Same as some of the young men. You're not willing to grasp it. That receive means to willingly grasp and accept, and then instruction. There's that word again, swift kick, discipline, chastening, correction. So you're not willing to receive instruction of wisdom, that's the application of God's word, or Christ, of justice, that's accuracy, righteous, beneficial deeds, judgments, that's the determination of rights and assignments of rewards. It means I'm able to pass a right sentence upon human action, judgment. He that is spiritual judges all things. You ever read that verse? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. It says if you're spiritual, if you're spirit-filled, word-filled, you're able to judge all things. Not judge all people, but all things and circumstances. God says if I apply the things in the book of Proverbs in my life, He'll give me the ability to pass proper judgment on things. The New Testament word for that, Greek word is krino, which means he'll allow me to make a proper estimate of spiritual truth. Let's go on. And the last word is equity. Equity. So God wants me to receive the instruction of equity. What does that mean? That means I'm able to make judgments free of discrimination. It's a word which means even, straight. I'm consistent. You know what? If I have balance, if I have equity, listen to me. I don't see color. Are you with me? I don't. I don't see financial status. I don't see political position. If I have equity. As I begin to study the principles of the book of Proverbs, God puts me in the situations where I don't need to be able to refer to a certain chapter and verse, but I will do right because of the principles of the Word of God that apply to my life. That's equity. The bottom line is I'll be convicted as I study this book because of inadequacies in my life. So this verse says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, that's God's point of view, justice, that's righteous deeds, judgments, I know how to give out rewards and judgment, punishments, and God wants me to willingly accept His discipline in my life when it comes to making judgments which are completely honest and free from any kind of discrimination. So, Proverbs was written to the fathers, purpose statement, that they might know, wisdom and instruction, they might perceive, the words of understanding, they might receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, and now, purpose statement for a father, they might give. Proverbs talks about to give. The purpose statement is to give. To give subtly to the simple. Subtlety to the simple. What's subtlety? Subtlety means discretion and purpose to simple people. If you have subtlety, you know how to act and you know how to plan. Those who are simple don't really care how they act or how they plan. Now what's a simple? What's a simple person? A simple person is a person who lives for now. Lives for now. Actually, the word simple means he lacks intelligence and common sense. He's stupid. He's a follower. He's easily influenced. I call the simple person in the Bible a space cadet when it comes to spiritual things. An airhead. A zombie when it comes to doing right. It's like, duh, yep. That's the simple one. You know, the problem with simple people, are you with me? Is that they love being simple. Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? You know, some people don't understand, simple people don't understand wisdom. Proverbs 8:5. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. A simple person is a person who's easily hoodwinked. Fooled. The opposite of being simple is being prudent. It says in Proverbs 14:15, the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. So a simple person is someone, hear me now, who's inexperienced in applying the Word of God. Oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, when the simple are mentioned, there's another person mentioned. Do you know who that is? The scorner. You often have the simple and the scorner mentioned together. How do you get a simple person's attention? Let me explain. The scorner is there to always make fun of authority. He's always there to mock people in positions of authority. He mocks spirituality. He mocks biblical truth. He's a mocker. He makes fun of. And the simple guy is saying, oh yeah, you're really cool. I want to be like you. And God says, here's how you deal. Here's how you get the attention of a simple person. Here's what you do. Here's the scorner. Here's the simple one. Watch me. How do you get this person's attention? Boom! And now you've got his attention. You smite the scorner and the simple will beware, Proverbs 19:25. That's why you don't give scorners an opportunity to just speak. Because the simple ones are there to be influenced. So if you deal with a scorner, there's got to be a sharp rebuke, and then you have the attention of the simple ones. So the book of Proverbs, keep with me, verse 4, is written to give subtlety, that's discretion and prudence, to the simple. Now it goes to the adolescent or the teenager. To the young man, the Hebrew word is adolescent or teenager. To the young man, what do you give? Knowledge and discretion. If I would say to the teenagers here today, what's some of the things you need most? Two of them would be knowledge and discretion. Knowledge means you need to have your eyes open spiritually. That's the word. And discretion means you need not to be influenced by the wrong crowd. That's what God says. You need to be on guard against evil counselors, guys that'll feed your mind with ungodly things. So a general statement, fathers and sons, look now to verse 5. A wise man, that's a man who is thirsty for the will, the word of God, a man who walks with Jesus Christ, it's the lordship of Christ, it's what he's all about. A wise man, here's what will characterize a wise man. A wise father. A wise adolescent, a wise teenager. A wise man will hear, that means attentive, and will increase learning. Increase means add to the quantity, the quality of learning, skills and knowledge. He will hear. Do you hear that? A wise man will hear and will increase learning. That word hear, you know what that word hear means? It means if you're wise, you'll be a listener, a learner. You'll be obedient to the word. You know, Moses listened to his father-in-law, Jethro. The disciples sat on every word Jesus gave them. Peter spoke to the apostles and they listened. Apollos, an eloquent speaker, preacher, sat at the feet of Aquila and Priscilla as they explained to him, hey, Apollos, you're a great preacher, but you don't realize something. You don't realize Jesus rose from the dead, and you don't realize the Holy Spirit came. Basically, Apollos was an Old Testament saint. He hadn't heard about Christ. He was preaching repentance. But he heard. He listened. He changed. So the words, a wise man will hear and increase learning, means a wise young person, a wise person, is always a learner. Sitting on every word that's spoken. By the way, it's often easy to spot a wise person in a group discussion. You say, well, how? The wise person will say very little until the appropriate time. And then he has something very valuable to add. I mean, a wise person is a person that is not saying, I want to talk, me, it's me. Hey, I've got something to say. Let me talk. That's not a wise person. Proverbs 29:20 says, seest thou a man hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 17:28, I love this. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips, I mean, shuts his big fat mouth, is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 18:13. I love this. People who love to interrupt. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. So fathers and single mothers, it's vital. Watch this. It's vital you teach your little ones and your adolescents, your teenagers, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Teach them to choose their words. Teach them not to be know-it-alls. Teach them not to interrupt. Teach them not to talk over people, but to listen and speak. A wise person is a learner, a spiritual sponge. I like what Charles Bridges said. He said, the longer we learn, the more we feel ourselves to be learners, and the more ready we shall be to hear that we may increase in learning. Amen? So what's your purpose statement as a father? Well, to know, to perceive, to receive, to give, and last of all, to attain. Look at verse 5. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. If I'm a father of understanding, I'm going to surround myself with a chain of counsel of people that are wise. You know, for years, every time I had the opportunity, as a teenager, every time I had the opportunity to be around someone that was a servant of God, I had questions to ask them. You know, when I was in college, I was not married. I would still ask these preachers that came through Bible college. I knew they liked donuts and coffee or cinnamon rolls and coffee. So I'd say, do you have a half an hour so I can buy you a cinnamon roll and coffee? Yeah, I have some questions. And I'd always ask them, if you had it to do over again, what would you do? And what advice do you have to me as a young preacher? And I would take notes. I would listen carefully. And that's what this verse is saying. If you want a purpose statement as a son or as a father, it says a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so every one of us needs to have wise people who will say to you, listen to me, hey, wait a minute. Stop. Have you thought this through? Really? That's kind of stupid, don't you think? Don't do that. We need people around us that are willing to say that. They'll rebuke us when we need it. So a man of understanding will be a good listener. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Do you have a multitude of counsel? I think if you're a teenager, a young man, young lady, in your multitude of counsel, it starts with your mom and dad. Dad, what do you think? Mom, what do you think? Of course it starts with the Word of God, looking for chapter and verse. But then you'll have a wise youth pastor. You may want to go to your pastor. You may want to go to some wise people you know. Not foolish people, but wise people. A multitude of counsel. When you get married, you need to have a chain of counsel of good, godly people who are working on having a godly marriage. When you start to have children, you need to have a multitude of counsel with other fathers and mothers who are doing the job right. And you ask them questions. Hey, you got a minute after church? Can I ask you a couple questions? You got a minute? We can go out for coffee. This is where you ask them questions. Will you be on my multitude of counsel? Well, when we get to the end of a message, you say two words. What are they? So what? I feel like I've dumped the whole load of coal on you today. I feel like instead of giving you a straw to drink from, I've given you a fire hose. All right, there's a lot to digest here. What's your purpose statement? What does it look like if you're going to effectively be a godly father, effectively be a godly teenager, a son or daughter? Well, definitely realize none of these things that we've looked at are possible without a personal relationship with that person of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. You can take these things and try to apply them. If you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're wasting your time. So a father's purpose statement is this. Your desire, here it is, is to know God's point of view and to know the reproofs, the rebukes of God. You're to embrace the times when God pulls the rug out from underneath you. To know. And then to perceive. You're to perceive the spoken word which gives insight into the future consequences of your present action. You're to know the domino effect of what you're doing right now. Your friendships, your relationships, etc. Number three, to receive. That's your Father. That's your purpose statement. You willingly grasp and embrace the disciplines of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And then your purpose statement is to give discretion and prudence to those who live for now, simple ones, and knowledge to teenagers and adolescents, and how not to be influenced by the wrong crowd. And number five, to attain. Surround yourself with wise counselors. Listen to them. Hey, quit talking for a while. Stop talking and listen. So here it is in a nutshell. We must be obedient, pliable, increase learning, be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must allow ourselves to be steered in the right direction by wise counsel. That's the Word of God and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So question for you. Do you have a purpose statement? You do now. Fathers, young men, this is Father's Day. Single parents, Christians, this is your purpose statement as a child of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what you want us to do. You tell us. You let us know. You give us your counsel. You give us your advice. We give you the glory.